Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity to still be here on earth
and to come forth and give you glory and praise and honor and worship. We thank you, Father, for your love that you send so abundantly and so freely. We thank you for your wisdom that you give freely, Father, upbraiding us not. We thank you, Father, for life and liberty and the love of God that's found in Jesus Christ. We come before you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, thanking you and giving you praise. Jesus is our blessed hope, and we thank you for sending him to us. We lift up to you, Lord God, people on the foreign mission fields tonight, Lord, people that are out there spreading the gospel with their lives at risk, Father, that men might come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might receive this eternal, great, precious salvation that was purchased for us. Father, I ask you to give them a special grace tonight, Lord, to know how precious they are to you and how much we appreciate them, us who are at home, that are backing them up with finances and with prayer and other means of support, Father. We ask that you put special protection over them and over their families, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We lift up to you tonight, Lord God, our armed forces, wherever they may be on this planet, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, Father. We ask your mercy and your grace. We ask you to sharpen them, Lord God, sharpen them like a whetted sword, ready for you to use and no one else. We thank you, Lord, for the many sacrifices that they have given on behalf of this nation and other nations and peoples around the world, Father. We give you praise, Lord God, for honoring them for their sacrifice and their hard work and their citizenship, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you and give you praise, Lord God, for the remnant, for the bride of Christ, Lord. We thank you that you're coming for a bride that hath not spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. We thank you for the purging that's coming. We thank you for the cleansing that's coming. We thank you for the rapture that's coming. We give you praise for the catching away, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we lift even others up to you. We pray for Max, Lord. We thank you for the comfort that you will give. We pray for Mac, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that when you call a person to you, they have to answer. They can't ignore you or pretend they don't hear you, but they must answer when you call. We thank you for your call. We thank you for their answer. We give you the praise. We take authority and dominion and power from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over every work of witchcraft, every work of divination, every work of sorcery, every work of the occult, every technology demon, every machine sent against this broadcast and against this ministry and its ministers and those that come up to be ministered to. We bind you, cage you, chain you with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. We bind you with fetters of iron. We bind you with bands and with every other instrument that Jesus Christ would afford us. We say you have no right and no power. The shield of faith is lifted up against you in Jesus' name. And the army of God marches forward right on top of you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that every weapon that has been formed against us shall not prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we show to be in the wrong. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy and a God of justice, Father, and that you do bring justice in due season. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We worship you, Lord God. You are our God, and there is no God beside you. All others are liars. All others are thieves, and we call them so in Jesus' name. We come into agreement tonight, Father, with every prayer of intercession that Jesus Christ is praying on our behalf. We come into agreement, Father, tonight with every prayer that God the Holy Spirit is praying in our behalf. We thank you. We receive those prayers. We receive the answers. We stand in agreement. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you are giving us in this very dark hour. The Bible declares, Father, that if we follow you, we will not walk in darkness. So we take authority, dominion, and power over the darkness. We bind it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that eyes will see what you will show and ears will hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, and that your people will begin to discern the difference between the false and the real, between the lie and the truth, that they will come out of deception, Father, that they will repent of their sin, that they will come to be purged of their old man and cleansed and made whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina, and I, for one, stand in perfect agreement with you in these prayers. We're going to be speaking tonight on a very serious question that has entered into many of your churches all over the world and many of your big mega churches right here in America. And this is a spiritual disaster for souls. Unfortunately, many people have had to leave their churches. And the reason that they've left is not because they wanted to leave. It's because these new strange doctrines have come in. And when the new doctrines came in, some of them were just literally asked to leave. And they left. There was a man that I heard about a half a dozen years ago, and his name was Warren Smith. And Warren is he was a man that used to be in the rock bands, and from there he became a praise worshiper in the Christian churches. And a half a dozen years ago or so, Warren began to notice as he went around the country. Well, let's see. His book is dated 2004, and the name of his book is "Deceived on Purpose." Warren Smith, and what he was getting was he'd go into these churches. And people were coming up to him and they were telling him that they had been asked to leave their churches because they were bringing new programs into the churches that they disagreed with. So he did some investigation on it and he came up with that book. It's called Deceived on Purpose. I believe you can get it up on Amazon. But he wrote a book about what he saw and what he heard. And of course, many of your churches had fallen into following Rick Warren because of the fact that he had a big mega church out in California called Saddleback Church, and he had already risen to the power of the world, and the power of the world was really supporting him and pushing him forward with his book called Purpose Driven Church. And so it's just laced with error and laced with the funny doctrines in it and everything. But so he alerted the church. And so I started looking into it about that time, too. And, you know, you can find many, many books up on Amazon.com, Pat Holiday, Kindle. And I've been working for several months getting some of my books up on the Internet. And if you really want to know what's going on, if you will just go up there and look under some of those books. I think we have about 54 books up there right now hanging. Just look at those books and you'll find out. You'll get an education real quick. And what has happened to the Christian church in America is Christians, pastors, they just don't believe that the devil is real. And the Pentecostal churches They used to cast out devils in the olden times when they first came into existence. I remember Oral Roberts used to cast out devils when he used to go around in the tent ministry. But, you know, it's not very popular to do that. So slowly, they let that part of Christ's ministry fall by the wayside. And so they felt like the best thing to do is to ignore the devil and he would go away. Well, that didn't happen. He got very powerful and very strong within their own systems. And they got blinding spirits because they didn't believe that the devil had power. And of course they didn't believe that the devil had power over Christians. Well, if the devil doesn't have power over Christians, let me ask you this. How come just about 95% or more churches have backslidden in our country today? Oh, Dr. Pat, I don't believe that. Well, you know, we wouldn't have a Muslim in the White House if Christian pastors really believed that the devil was real. We would not have had a majority of white, particularly white Christian ministers supporting a Mormon high priest, which is nothing but a Satanist, to be president of the United States if they believed that the devil was real. And today we wouldn't be seeing Christian pastors and major church denominations coming together saying all pathways lead back to God if the devil didn't have power and influence within the churches. We wouldn't have pastors that are divorcing their wives and marrying their song directors and being caught in homosexual acts and molestation of children if they believed that the devil was real and were casting out devils. You see, he is real, and he's very, very powerful. And he's taken over many of our Christian churches because of what I call spiritual blindness. And you have two moves moving within Christendom in America today. You have the movement called purpose-driven movement. And mostly in the beginning, that movement with Rick Warren came through the denominational churches. But then you've got the other branches of Christianity, which are supernatural, and that had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believed in the gifts for today. And so in that group, which is supernatural, a supernatural move came forth, and it works on magical thinking. And this supernatural movement came first. It came in very powerfully through a man by the name of William Branham back in the 50s. And William Branham believed in the supernatural and healing, but at the same time, he believed that healing happened because of an angel that would come into his meetings and heal the people. And all kinds of weird signs would come into his meeting, like oil coming out of people's hands and just all kinds of blood in communion cups and just all kinds of weird stuff. So they called that the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, another movement was coming forth, and that was a movement where the men and women came out of some of the denominational churches, and what they were doing is they were going into the tents and telling Christians that Jesus was alive and that he could heal. And they were dependent on Jesus, his name, and the Holy Spirit. So there were two movements coming forth back in those days. And the Branham movement turned into be what we call the manifested sons of God. That movement turned into a modern movement called Kingdom Now movement, which was back in about the 80s, a fellow up in Atlanta was kicked out of the Church of God for adultery by the name of Polk. And Polk picked up the Manifested Sons of God and ran with it. And, of course, the false movement does not believe in the rapture of the church. They don't believe. They believe that actually they are the bride of Christ, but they are going to put the church back together. They say they cast out devils, but the Satan cannot cast out Satan. And so they believe that they are going to perfect the church, and then they are going to perfect the world by taking over the world government, and then Jesus is coming back. I taught about that last week. So you can recast last week's program and catch up. But anyway, meantime, people in the 70s and 80s, God was releasing a few people out of the occult back in those days. And the church did not want to hear that. Only a few would open their doors to those that were being released and had testimonies. But back in the 70s and 80s, when God was releasing those people, the church was at that time absolutely blind concerning deliverance and concerning the occult. So people, a lot of people that had experiences back in that day came up under ministers that did not know anything about the deliverance ministry, and they were never delivered. And they made a confession to Jesus. I believe Jesus honors that. But apart from deliverance, you're going to be in a lot of torment if you've never been really through a deliverance session. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and Christians can't have demons. Well, again, I ask you, how come 95-97% of the churches are backslidden if that's true? Because a lot of those men, a lot of those women I knew back in the 70s and 80s when they were on fire for God, that are backslidden into the false movement. So believe what you want, but you can believe a lie. And when you believe a lie, you'll step right into the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be very prayerful about what you believe and what the Bible says and who is teaching you and what they're saying. Now, they were saying that God was dead when they came out of the churches in the 70s. And the charismatic movement started with the Jesus movement. And the Jesus movement, were a lot of those kids were coming out of the occult and drugs. And they knew the devil was alive. And so a lot of them came through deliverance. And they knew. But the denominations and your professional ministers continue to say not so. So the church has been caught under the powers of darkness for a lot of many years. And there's a great army of demonic slaves who are busy today capturing many millions of people for the devil. And some of these slaves have come right into the church, and nobody noticed them except just a few people. And the few people that noticed them, they were people like myself. We had no power. Nobody was going to listen to us because, after all, we didn't have big television ministries, and we didn't have a lot of money flowing through our churches and our ministries. We weren't riding around in Rolls Royces and Mercedes Benzes, and we weren't riding up in the jet planes and having big multi-million dollar homes. And the monies that came through our ministries, we were putting them back into the ministry to alert people about who Jesus was. And we still do that. And we want to thank you, by the way, all of you guys that have helped us in this ministry. This particular ministry is now an international worldwide ministry. And we have many people from different parts of the world that are standing with us in prayer. So we appreciate each and every one of you. And to us, you're very precious.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're in the churches. And what I call these people that have come into the churches, I call them the New Age mystics. And they are making another attempt to manipulate the scripture with magical vibrations and pagan rituals, to the end result is always the same, and that is to bring forth the creation of the New World Order. Now, the New Age movement, they believe that a New World Order is coming. And as I would look into the New Age to see what they were doing so that I could write the books that I write, so that I could alert the church what was going on, the New Age, as I studied it, is nothing in the world but the old age of witchcraft. They just tagged a new name onto it. And with the name of the New Age, they have several other names. And the name, let's say, Stargate, and the Golden Age of Aquarius, and also the Return of the Titans. Now, these New Age people, they actually believed in the Mayan calendar that claimed that the world was going to end December 21, 2012. And they had had a countdown for years for the end of the world to come. And they even had many types of scientific papers out to explain to you how this is going to come about, and so on and so forth. I've done articles on it throughout the years. And you can find many of my articles up on remnantradio.org. And you can find some up on patholiday.com. And then we have miracleinternetchurch.com. And there's newsletters on all three of those places. Plus, I have a lot of newsletters up on scrib.com. Pat Holiday. And so the thing is I've been looking into these things for a long time, but I want you to know that as I looked into these things, I stayed very based into Jesus Christ and His Word, because I believe that the Word of God is how we're going to get through to heaven. I never changed the structure of my Bible teaching from King James to all of these weird versions that deny who Jesus is. And so I've stayed as close to the Lord as I can and as close to doctrines as I can. And so that's where I'm coming from. Now, some films came forth. They started coming forth back in about 1994. Films talking about Stargates. I'm sure you remember some of those films. And everybody looked at those films as if they were science fiction films. But now, first and foremost, let me tell you that all of Hollywood is fueled by the Khazar, mostly the Khazar Jewish movement, which is the movement for the New World Order. And it's not Jews, by the way. They were a group of people that were born over in Turkey, a place called Khazar on the border of Russia, and they converted to Judaism. But what they did is they didn't convert to to the Judaism of Jesus, of the of Abraham and the Torah and those things. When they converted to Judaism, they took the Kabbalah and they took the writings of the rabbis and they made up a magical religion that they have worked to take dominion and to rule over the world. Now, many of your Christians have fallen in line with these people that are in magical Christianity, which we're going to get to in a minute. But some of these books and movies and comic books that they put forth were teachings about supernatural aliens and supernatural stargates and wormholes opening up. And from that, you jump over into the occult, which is called the New Age, mainly. And so you've got the occult, the wizards, the witches, the occultists, the New Agers, looking into what they call the stargates, opening up stargates, opening up wormholes, so that they could get into the other dimension. And at the same time, you have your governments of the world that are looking into the supernatural from the occult point of view. Russia opened the door to that first, and then the government of the United States opened the door, and they began to bring occultists into the government, psychics and remote viewers and things like that to look into these things. Now, I'm looking at one, the military one, and they used stargates, and it was the a lot of information has uncovered from the CIA, the FOIA documents, the intelligence agencies, and they were calling it Project Stargate. And I'm not going deeply into all of this. I'm just highlighting a bunch of stuff for you tonight. The project, and I'm still in the government thing, the Project Stargate is the collective name for advanced psychic functioning of remote viewing experiments and programs. Be sure to bind up electronic things in Jesus' name. And they had undertaken this stuff for over 20 years. And these things were methods that they were developing to psychic spy on other countries through the military intelligence of the CIA, NSA and the DIA. And so the government's involved, the occultists are involved, and the movie people are involved. And so then when you begin to look into some of the writings as I have, and because I had spent time over the years seeing what the New Agers were doing, I could discern what Christians were doing. Whereas many of your Christian ministers and many of your Christian movements could not understand what they were doing. They just thought they were powerful Christian men. Well, now before I get into the Christian aspect of it tonight, which is where I was headed for all along, I need you to understand that all occultists believe in the tree of life. They all have symbolisms concerning the tree of life. And the Rothschilds believe in the tree of life. And if you read my books on Metatron, And there's several up there on Amazon under Kendall's Pat Holiday. You will see that Metatron is the supernatural spiritual Antichrist that they're expecting to rule over the world for 7 years. But they all believe in the Tree of Life. And so sometime back, the Lord showed me that their desire and their quest was to find the Tree of Life and eat from the Tree of Life. Because you see, the occultists are not doubters like Christians are.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that the Tree of Life is still on the earth, as I do. I believe that there was two angels standing at the gate, just for what the Bible says, with flaming swords. Well, every occultist desire is to eat from the Tree of Life. And so what they believe is that they are going to be able to do that and live forever. So I've written some articles concerning that over on those websites that I gave you earlier. But the Tree of Life is central to their faith because they believe they're never going to die. And they believe the lie that the devil said, you eat from this tree and you shall never die. And that was from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all of these people have eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so they went on a quest to eat from the Tree of Life. Now, I'm talking about governments. I think the Iraqi war, for instance, had a lot to do with the Bushes and them looking for the Tree of Life. I think that the big 80-foot embassy that George Bush put over in Iraq, which is totally self-sufficient, water, swimming pools, shopping places, a modern place in Iraq. Wow, just over the wall, everybody's starving and walking around in rags. I personally believe that's where the seat of the Antichrist right there. But they were over there opening up stargates, the government was, and they were trying to find the stargate in Iraq to the spirit that was called the Prince of Persia. Now, who was that Prince of Persia? The Prince of Persia was the angel that stopped Daniel's prayer in the atmospheres. Whenever he was asking God, when was his people going to be released from their captivity? Mm-hmm. And God had to send another angel on the scene to answer Daniel's prayer, to bring the answer. And that angel was called Michael, the angel Michael. And so...
the archangel.
Yeah, they are archangels. And so what happened was... that I believe that the Bushes were over there, and the world governments are in a race to find the things that supernatural spiritual entities that will bring them success in creation of the new world order, because everything that happens on this side happens through the powers from the other side. And a lot of people don't realize it, but during that time, Bush and them sent a big plane over. And they were given specific commands by the presidents not to touch Babylon that Saddam had built, because it had the great arts in there. And they never bombed that place. But after desert storm, they pulled one of those big planes in and took all of the idols from that temple, from those hanging gardens that Saddam had built, and they've disappeared and nobody knows where they are. Well, you see, if you know supernatural things, you know that if you have an idol, the spirit that is assigned to that idol stays with that idol. Mm-hmm. And so they're seeking for that spirit that Nebuchadnezzar had to create the first world order. And that's the Prince of Persia. And so those idols are gone. And nobody knows where they are. They just totally disappeared. But they disappeared in American, big American planes that they usually transfer troops and machines and things like that in for war. But anyway, so the government's involved in Stargates. They were busy trying to find the Stargate to Eden. Mm-hmm. As well as the Stargate to Iraq. And so there are newsletters up on our websites that I gave you. And so things are happening supernaturally that most of your American pastors have no inkling of. And they have joined it because they're spiritually blinded. And the only way that they're going to get out from underneath this is through God's people praying for them. That God will awaken them. Now, God can awaken people. We had a woman recently that came through our church, and she was going to one of these churches that were under the bewitchments, and she received a lot of deliverance, that miracle. She went back to that church and got repossessed, and she was praying and asked God to show her what was wrong. And God gave her a dream, and in the dream, she saw a moment of time when she had gone to her pastor, and the pastor hugged her, and that's when the transference of spirits happened. And she felt it when it happened. And so she came back and got re-delivered. And so you got to be very careful, just because they say Christian doesn't mean that they are Christians. Amen? And so now, here's what I want to show. I mentioned that there's men that believe that if they can find the tree of life and eat of the tree of life, they will live forever. I believe they have found the tree of life. Because of the fact that we have satellites up in the sky, and the satellites can go down, I don't know how far, but miles and miles down into the dirt. And I saw an article several years ago that they had found the Tree of Life or the Garden of Eden, and it has a pile of like a mountain of dirt over it. Now, they at the same time, I saw one of these tunnel eaters that they have where they make whole cities underground. And these things, they're the weirdest looking things. They kind of look like an octopus with all these arms. And when they turn them on, those arms start whirling around and around. And they just dig right through. And they're so fast that when they dig the dirt up, the rocks turn to liquid, so they don't have to haul the rocks out of the tunnels. So what happens is, I believe that when I saw that they had found, through the satellite, the Garden of Eden, I believe that they have found it now. I believe that we may well have people walking on the face of the earth that have actually gone down there and eaten out of that tree. But to my absolute amazement, I came across a fellow by the name of Rick Joyner. And I remember when his book came out called The Final Quest. And I skimmed that book and I said, this is the weirdest thing that I guess that I have ever read in my life. And in that book, he has demons, for instance, standing up on the side of a mountain, urinating on Christians down below to take their powers away from them. That's in that book. And I said, my God, this is strange. Well, all of the Christians that I knew were reading that book and they were saying, what a great book that was. Well, let me give you just a little quote from The Final Quest, coming from Rick Joyner. The heretical book called The Final Quest from the false apostle called Rick Joyner. Quote, to have eaten from the tree of life, Jesus is an angel named Wisdom. To have spoken, now these are the things that he's written in his book. To have spoken to the deceased, we're forbidden to do that. There's going to come a civil war in the church, and he's one of the leaders of it. And that civil war in the church is to get rid of all of the people that are Bible believers and believe in Jesus, by the way. To have power, more power than the apostles. To have received the Apostle Paul's mantle. Now, these are things that this man wrote in that book. And since he wrote that book, a lot of things have materialized in the Christian community. I'd advise you don't buy the book. If you don't know how to protect yourself, don't step over in the devil's territory. Just go up and get the book called The New Breed, and Journey into the Stargates. Just go up there and look. There's 50 of them out there. But go up there and look under Pat Holiday on Amazon, and you'll find a lot of information up there that you're not going to find anyplace else. There are some Christians that are coming out and waking up. His incantations are only meant to bring about the darkness inside, and subscribes to some of the most heinous theories, associating himself with the most foul reprobates walking on the face of the earth today. For instance, Bob Jones, C. Peter Wagner, Chuck Pierce, and also Todd Bentley, people like that. And these are people that the word calls Gnostics, and they claim that they're in direct communication with God. But their communications that they claim that they're in direct communications with God, if a voice or a spirit tells them something, they put it above the word of God, mm-hmm. and above whatever Jesus has said. And this is why it's dangerous unless you're very well grounded in doctrines to be able to go on their side of the field and start looking, because you will not. A lot of times you have not been taught to discern, and many of you don't know what the Bible says enough to discern. So forget all traditional religions. They're outdated, legalistic, moralistic practices. In other words, these people practice immorality. I mean, you know, some of them practice homosexuality, child molestation. Half a dozen pastors in my city in the last 15 years or so have been picked up and put down in the police station for child molestation and homosexuality. And many have left their wives and married younger women and stuff like that. So watch a person's life. If their life is not holy and clean and lines up with the Word of God, and if they divorce their wives to marry someone else, pastors, I remember when pastors just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Period. End of story. So they say forget all of the outdated legalistic. They call these things legalistic. They will teach you their personal knowledge. And the word knowledge means gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. They'll bring you into what they call meditation. Lots of the Eastern religion has moved into their movements. Meditation, astrology, numerology, the paranormal, the supernatural, and particularly today the popular thing is UFOs. Jesus as the cosmic Christ coming from the stars. Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, death, dreams, alternate states of consciousness, and Jewish mysticism. And they will also direct you to read, they will direct you away from the King James Version of the Bible and direct you into all of those phony Bibles that have totally emasculated Jesus Christ as God, Messiah, and the person that can forgive your sins. And they will bring you into the Zohar, which is 23 volumes of the Kabbalah Bible that speaks of astrology, reincarnation, Gilgal, spirit guide, and many other subjects. And by the way, the Book of Enoch was divined by a Jewish rabbi that was taken by an angel up into the heavens where he supposedly saw Enoch, who had been made into this great mighty angel that God loved so much that he, quote, made him second in command of heaven and set him down at his right hand. Now, we know what the Bible says about all of that. And they believed that that angel, whose name is Metatron, is going to return to the earth and rule over the earth. And I have several books up there called about Metatron. You need to get wise because this stuff is happening and most people don't even know that it's happening. They'll listen to these prophets like Frank Mazur and Steve Quayle, and Tom Horn, and all of these people. Tom Horn sells the books of Enoch and Jubilees and all of these phony books up on his website. Well, I'm just going to tell you that Jesus that I know wouldn't let me do those things. He wouldn't let me get on the television and radio and say, folks, I know Jesus is my personal Savior, and I've known him since I was a little boy. I used to be with Derek Prince's Ministries, and I'm born again, and then dive into the Book of Enoch and say to you, the Book of Enoch is in the Bible and it's real. And all you got to do is look in the Book of Jude. Well, the Book of Jude speaks of a Book of Enoch, but it is not the Book of Enoch that they're all promoting. The Book of Enoch that they are promoting were all written after the death of Jesus Christ. So you need to get wise and smart, and you need to know things so that you can seek God on everything, so that you are alert, and so that you can hear and see. Now, these people will export all of this cesspool of unrighteousness right into your congregations and right into your spirit if you are not wise and if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Now, we have a promise. Dr. Sabrina will look it up and put it up on the chat room. It's a promise of the Holy Spirit shall lead you into all truth and teach you all things. It's over in the book of John. And so you need to know that the job of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all truth and to lead you into truthful teaching and to guard your soul. But the Holy Spirit can't do that for you unless you submit yourself to the Bible, to Jesus, and to the power of God to do that through the Word of God. So you need to know that you're living in that hour of time, and they'll look up this scripture for you too. In 1 Thessalonians, I think 1 and 2 talks about the great falling away. And what you have to understand is this. You are living in the time just before Jesus returns, just before the Antichrist rises up and takes his seat on the world power. And their prophecies, not our prophecies, but the demonic prophecies, are saying that that he's going to come after World War III breaks out. Now, we all know that Obama tried to get that to happen about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's not letting up on that. Obama literally thinks that he is the Antichrist, and I know that for sure. And I've even got articles on that up on remnantradio.org. But the point is he wants to hurry up and get that Third World War going so that he can sit on the throne of ruling over the world. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says a third of the people in the world will die during this time. So if you think that these people think anything at all about the possibilities of one country wiping out another country, believe me, they don't care. Because they believe that they can rule very comfortably over 500 million people in their new Garden of Eden. And so they want that many billions of people to be dead anyway. And marked right in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe the city's named Lawton. It's right off of the Highway 40 outside of Atlanta. It's something called the Georgia Guidelines. And I wrote an article on the Georgia Guidelines probably a half a dozen years ago. And right on that are the new Ten Commandments for the New World. And one of the commandments is this. They only want 500,000 people left. And they tell you to go ahead and suicide yourself if it's time for you to go. Now, they're not telling themselves to do that. They want you to do that. So these people work magical powers. The third wave people use numerology in everything that they do, as do the New World Order people. The New World Order people do certain things on certain days and certain years. And for instance, have you ever heard of the 666? We've all heard of that from the Bible, right? The only more powerful occult number to the occultists, and by the way, 666 is very powerful to the occultists, is 333. And it's the call that has gone out ungirded by these occult members is shocking and frightening. Literally, 333 stands for the occult counterfeit of being born again. And so everything that they do, and they know their religion, it's us that don't know our religion, right? For instance, a news brief, Global Day of Prayer, urge for Iraq crises. Intercessory Network says the date 030303, and it has a special significance by Andy Buescher of Charisma News Service, special edition 226-2003. And so I've already just vaguely touched on the Iraq war, but I don't want to go into this too clearly for you. But they have world prayer networks, as do the third wavers. The third wave ministers have worldwide prayer networks that are ruled over by Cindy Jacobs. There's articles up there about her too. And so when the Iraq war drew closer and closer, Christians were urged to join a World Day of Prayer. And the appeal went out to the World Prayer Team, it's called WPT Network, based on the World Prayer Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which says the date 030303 seems to have a special significance. Churches and individual Christians are being asked to set aside at least 3 minutes to pray precisely at 3:33 p.m. local time. Now, you know who put that out? A fellow that we know of, Ted Hackard. Do you remember who he is? He was that infamous homosexual man that you've heard about in the media. And they also said, read Jeremiah 3:33 and highlight it as our call to action. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great, unsearchable things you do not know. Now, there was another man that's involved in the third wave by the name of Lou Engles. And Lou Engles has taken over the youth of the Christian church. I mean, big, mighty portions of them. And he calls it a Christian call to prayer. And it's built around three sets of 3:33. It's totally unbelievable. However, each prayer member is told that this March 3 event is mirrored by the global consciousness movement, which is, by the way, a new age movement as well, for they also are planning a global meditation movement on March the 3rd. Now, you see, in other words, what I've just said to you are the Christian New Agers have joined the New Agers, the occultists, both the psychics and the witches and warlocks and those kind of people, the Pope of Rome and all of those kind of people, and they joined with the government on their 333. And they've joined in to pray these events to come into being. Meanwhile, Christians, we can't find 20 people to pray most of the time. How sad. Thank God Jesus wrote that scripture where two or three are gathered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the global consciousness movement, New Age, has for years been planning a worldwide largest event experiment in the global consciousness to take place on 3-03-03-03, and their effort is slated to begin 3:33 a.m. Fiji local time on the third day of the third month of the third millennium. And it has gained worldwide notoriety from the New Age circles. So this is what we're dealing with, my friends, when we look at our government and we see the state of our churches. These people have come in, and they have come in and stolen the church right under the eyes of the pastors, and the pastors, in fact, have joined in with them. Now, this movement of Lee Ingalls is a Christian, supposedly it's a Christian movement called The Call, which was founded by Lou Engle. And you can see from a video that Engle that what this is weaving and bobbing and weaving. When he preaches, he's going back and forth and bobbing around like Todd Bentley. He says, "What are we, Hasidic Jews?" Well, actually, what it really is, it's imitating a demon spirit that's pretending to be and impersonates the Holy Spirit. And when you see them, when they are actually, when they stand before the wailing wall, you will see the rabbis, and they're hunching their privates back and forth, like they're having a sexual act. Well, actually, what they're doing in their writings, they believe that they are actually having sex with their goddess, Shekinah. And so you say, oh, in front of the holy wailing wall? Well, you see, that wailing wall is not a part of the temple that was left standing, as you've been told. That wailing wall is a part of a Roman army building that the Jews have told you is a part of the temple left standing. And that wailing wall is not part of the temple that was standing when Jesus was on the earth, because you can go and look up a scripture. Bill and Sabrina will look it up for you. Jesus said to his disciples, not one stone will be left standing on this temple. Not one stone. And then 70 years later, a guy by the name of Titus came rolling through Jerusalem, and he demolished Jerusalem and demolished the temple. Now, I would prefer to believe what Jesus' prophecy says than to believe what these Jewish people are saying. And these wannabe Jewish people that are Gentiles, that for some strange reason they want to be Messianic Jews or wannabe Jews. Now, Ted Hoggard, he makes it seem as though he has issued this clarion for Christians to pray at the very same time in order to combat the wicked forces of evil backing up the New Age global consciousness movement. However, that's not what's happening at all. And when you read this article, you'll see absolutely what really went down, and all it was an occult call to Christians to come and join the unbelievers and to join the world to bring forth the new world order, the new world religion, the new world government, and the new world money system. So you've got people that have invaded our churches that have Christians praying the new world order into existence. Now, I'm going to give you the name of the article that's up on remnantradio.org and up on miracleinternetchurch.com. It's called Through Magical Thinking, Numerology. And you'll be shocked because, see, this article is written back way back, but there's even articles up there that are closer to this date, like 11-11-11. They were all out there playing again with those people who are New Agers for December the 21st, 2013. Now, I did an article on that, too, and Christians, they thought that it was going to be the end of the world and all of that, but you see, Christians don't understand things that are happening because their pastors don't understand, and their pastors are spiritually blinded in a lot of instances, too, but to understand you have to understand what that means. 11, 11, 11 means things to them that it doesn't mean to us. And when they called out prayer and said things that was going to be a year of particular year for the movement of God, this is what they meant. They were praying for December 21, 2012, which comes to 11, the number 11, if you add those numbers together. And what they were praying for was, you see, they believe that the old world order is going to end and their new world order is going to begin. And they had designated December 21, 2012. And that's your worldwide occultists, a high level of government people. And they based it on the Mayan calendar with stops on that date, by the way. But they called together the international prayer meeting because of the month 11, 11, 11. And it was a magical number. And so this magical number, the occultists were teaching that the celestial occurrences leading up to the winter solstice of December 21, 2012, that they believed that a stargate was going to open up and their cosmetic Christ was going to come through that stargate. That's what they were praying for. And you had Christians praying for that also, by the way. So it was called a year of sacrifices. And so during that year, we were binding up the occult sacrifices all over the world. And they were all over the world. The Bohemian Grove, where our leaders meet and worship a 40-foot owl. And that 40-foot owl is called Moloch. And in the Bible, that is the owl that kills kids that you throw them in. Into his belly, and they burn. Thus, we have abortions that we can't get rid of now for more than 30-some-odd years. That's sacrifices. Our young men and women are being sacrificed and being thrown into wars that have absolutely no threatening things over us. I mean, they're not going to come over here. We're going over there, meddling in their affairs. And so we're living in the new age, and it's the age of Aquarius. That's what they call it. And the age of Aquarius is an age based on planets, astrology, occultism, and some of the things that I've been describing to you today. So this is what we're talking about today, was magical thinkers. And there are many people involved in this. Many of your big mega pastors are involved in this. And your churches are not like they used to be. They're not storehouses where you go to meet Jesus and where you go to learn about Jesus. They are storehouses where the pastor is blinded in many instances, and where the people are just doing whatever it takes to feel good. And these feel-good things that they are doing are making their flesh feel good, perhaps, but their spirits are lost. I know I've ministered to some of them down here in Jacksonville. And so what they brought into the church is what they call Hegelian dialectic. And what that means is they have liberal people and conservative people. And they take these two people and they use them to bring about change. And that's what they do in politics, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats. And they argue back and forth, but when it gets right down to the ball game, they're both playing on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way it is in this particular movement. They want spiritual change, rebellion, and they're going to bring it through synthesis. And so these are things that you have to listen to. You need to go get the book, because the book's got scriptures to match what we're talking about. You need to get that book that I wrote called Binding and Caging Demons, because that teaches you how to support yourself spiritually and defend yourself. So these are called transformational thinkers, and they justify themselves why they're no longer bound to the Bible, moral absolutes. You see, people are saying that the biblical messages just don't apply to today's humanistic cultures, that it must be interpreted in the light of today's culture. If you believe that, you're going to go down the road where all of a sudden change, Obama's change. Remember, he said change, change, change. And he was using that Hegelian dialectic over and over and over, so that Americans were miserable. We were losing our statuses in the world, our finances, our job structures, the value of our homes, everything. And so he comes along and he says, change, it's time for a change. Well, you know, that is exactly the same mantra that they used in Germany whenever Hitler came to power. And it's exactly the same mantra that they used in Russia when Russia fell. And so you've got to be wise as doves. What is that scripture? Wise as doves?
Wise as serpents, gentle as doves.
Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. You've got to know that this is the age of rebellion, and that the rebellion, why, it's just moved into the churches. And that rebellion and that change, that Hegelian dialectic that they were using in Germany, ended up killing more than 6 million Jews, and many, many Christians died, both Catholic and Protestant. If you just read the Word of God, the historical accounts, you would see. And so now I'm finished for today on the teaching. You need to probably recast it. You need to go read some of those articles and go and get the book. the books are I don't think that you're going to find a lot of books like them because of the fact a lot of people haven't put themselves, you know, to the plow as I have. The Lord has called me apart for many, many years to be able to do what I do. It's not something that I've learned from other people. And through the deliverance ministry, the Lord was able to teach me some of this stuff that I was able to put through to spiritually how it works by discerning devils and casting out devils. I was able to put some of this stuff together spiritually. Now I'm going to read you just a few books up on Amazon.com, and it's I'll put the link up on Facebook, but it's you can get there by putting Amazon.com Pat Holiday Kindle. You should be able to reach it. If you don't, ask us and we'll try to get the information to you. But Journey to the Third Heaven, we talked a little bit about that today. And that's where they're taking people into the third heaven. And the Lord showed me that when they go into the third heaven, they're not coming back. Spiritual weapons will show you how to defend yourself and battle for your family. A cosmic Christ is that a Christ that they're trying to bring back called Archangel Metatron. And Metatron, by the way, is not mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible, but it is mentioned in the Book of Enoch and Jubilees, which are those books that are not part of the canon of the Bible. And then Angel in the Whirlwind covers Metatron, and then Amazing Secrets. And those tell you about spirits in the sea. And I've got a book called Ruling World Water Spirits. And a lot of people think that I just happened to cross paths with a guy by the name of Bishop Kenko and wrote that book called Witch Doctor and the Man, City Under the Seas. And that's all I know about it. But I'm going to tell you that in this Ruling Water Spirits, World Water Spirits, the United Nations and all of their get-togethers that they come down into Brazil, they worship the water spirit called the Queen of the Sea. And so world powers are into worshiping water spirits. This is not a little thing. This is a big thing that we're involved in. And I just come up and preach to you every day, because tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen in the world or even to me. Because I tell you, these things are not well known, but they are known by a few. So you let God be your guide, and you let Him lead you on what you should do. But you need to get smart, and you need to get smart fast, and you need to subject yourself to Jesus and the King James Version of the Bible, and study and learn as much as you can, as quick as you can. Now, Dr. Sabrina's going to come over. I'm sure she's got some scriptures or something to share with you. And then we're going to go look and see if our co-host is up. But meantime, our number is 805-292-0300. I'll say it once again. 805-292-0300. And you dial a 1 when you dial that number. Not before the number, but after the number. and the operator will prompt you to do so, and that will show us that you want to ask questions, give a testimony, or you're calling for prayer. So, Dr. Sabrina, you come while I'm looking for our co-host.
All righty. Praise the Lord. That was a wonderful teaching, wasn't it? Let's give God the glory. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for those words of wisdom and insight and words of knowledge, Lord, that we might be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that we might not walk through the world gullible and naive and in darkness, but that we will have the light of light within us, Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to pray for all those who have a sickness or illness or disease of any kind, but especially those who are having emotional difficulties. Our number, once again, is 1-805-2920-300, and press 1 to speak to us. There are many persons that are experiencing mental and emotional difficulties in their lives for various reasons. Some may or may not be on medications, but we are believing God for their breakthroughs tonight. So if those persons in particular, along with everyone else, would call in tonight and press 1, we will get to you tonight and we will pray for you in Jesus' name. We believe that the Lord wants to see you healed and whole and delivered. We believe that he wants you to come into the full knowledge of himself and his word and his gospel. And it is imperative that you reach out to a ministry that has been trained and taught and is able to lead you rightly in the scriptures, that deliverance might come into your life. It's impossible for you to receive deliverance if you sit there and do nothing. Jesus is not going to go die on the cross again, and he's not going to come to your house and ring the doorbell and say, "Do you want me to do anything for you?" He put ministries here in the earth to touch the people, that the people might come to him. You see, we are his fingers, so to speak. We reach out and we touch you through the ministry, through books, through preaching, through evangelism, through the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. But you have to choose to make contact with us. And Jesus Christ is calling people from all over the world to make contact with us, that they might come out of darkness, that they might receive the healing that they so desperately need, that they might receive the deliverance from bondage that they must have to survive in this hour, that they must hear the truth, the right teachings of the gospel, that they might know the truth and believe the truth and receive the truth and walk in the truth. But it is up to the person to decide to participate. We have invited you, and we invite you every Wednesday and every Friday to come up and call. Give your testimonies, give your praise reports, give us your prayer requests, request deliverance. And some do, and some still are hindered. And we want you to overcome that hindrance, whatever that might be. We take authority, dominion, and power over it right now in Jesus' name. We bind the hindrances that keep you and hold you back from making that contact with us that Jesus really wants you to make, that you so desperately need to make for yourself and for your family and for your loved ones. Others of you that have already experienced deliverance, we invite you and encourage you and exhort you to encourage others to listen to the broadcast. You never know what's really going on in a person's life. They don't always come out and show it to you or tell you. From the outward, they appear to be doing just fine, but you never know what goes on behind closed doors. But God knows, and he is waiting for you to invite persons to join us here on Blog Talk, that they might hear the words of life, that they might receive a refreshing in their spirits, that they might be able to bring someone in their family or some of their friends or some of their loved ones or colleagues or acquaintances or persons they work with to Jesus through this ministry. We are here to lead persons to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord said that the fields are white, that the harvest is white, but he needs workers. And surely we have all been given, as the scripture declares, the ministry of reconciliation. So surely we can all tell someone, we can tweet someone, we can Facebook someone, we can email someone, we can tell them about Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Holliday and Brother Marshall and Dr. Sabrina and the host of other people that have received ministry and have been set free and healed and delivered and are growing in the grace and favor and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We exhort you and we encourage you to continue coming every Wednesday and every Friday and to bring others alongside with you. God has a lot of people that are at home, closed away, because they don't know what to do. They've been driven out of their churches. They don't know what to do. Even if they don't have a computer, they can listen through their telephone. So we ask you to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to let your mouth and your voice and your email page or your Facebook page talk about the great wonders that God has done at Blog Talk and to encourage others to join us. Now, we encourage you once again to call tonight, to ask for prayer, to give testimonies, praise reports, or seek deliverance or even salvation, whatever the need may be, whether it's for you, a loved one, or a friend. We are here to minister to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen, Dr. Sabrina. That was a good challenge. Because, you know, Dr. Sabrina, as she told you, there are people that are desperate. I had a lady to come this week and just fall in my arms that had just tried to commit suicide. And her daughter called her just before she went off the bank to the river. And I want you to pray for that lady all week long, if you will. We'll just call her MM.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows who she is. And in fact, let's go see if we can find Marshall, our co-host, is here. There he is. Marshall, 661.
Hi there, Pat.
Very
good evening to one and all. Hi there, Dr. Sabrina.
Hi, Marshall.
Thank you for your admonition.
You're quite welcome.
Amen.
Yeah.
God is helping us, Marshall. We've got, how many did I tell you, Dr. Sabrina? You saw it.
Yeah, but I can't remember that
it
number.
It was 32,000 listeners.
I thought it was more than me.
132,000.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's much better.
I told you that I'm not good at figures.
Marshall's
praying for me.
Well, the Lord knows everyone's heart, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people in the Bible that were told to number people, and it was a good thing. And there were other people, there was a time that, who was it? King David started to number the people, and Joab said, I don't think you should do this. And he went ahead and did it. And then there was the opposite of a blessing. And anyway,
he got in trouble with God.
Yeah. He did. So we just all want to do what pleases the Lord. And I don't know. I mean, if he knows who's listening and why they're listening. And the important thing is that the people need to, you know, hunger and thirst for more of the real, true Lord, his righteousness, you know, his gift of righteousness, because that's the only thing that's going to deliver us, is his gift of righteousness. So we thank the Lord for sending Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, God is good all the time. I tell you, I've had a very nice week.
Mm-hmm.
God is moving in my life. Yes. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers this week. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We do have some calls. You want to start? In fact, we got quite a few calls. You want to start on the calls?
Absolutely. Yeah. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Okay. We'll give the number out again. It's 805-292-0300. And we like testimonies. We'll pray for your sickness, or you can ask questions. If I know the answer, we'll tell you. If we don't, we'll go look for it.
Amen.
250-250. Hello?
Hello, it's Sherry.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise your way.
We've been for you, kid.
Where you been, stranger?
I'll let you guys know off the call. Yeah. I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss
quite a
you.
Bit. Yes, it's great to hear your voices.
Yeah.
God bless all of you. Yeah, I've been telling people about the program. I hope some are joining tonight.
I hope
we will
so
see.
Too. Pretty good tonight, Sherry.
Huh?
You sound pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like I feel pretty good. I feel good at the heart, you know, like in the heart level.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've done lots of prayer on it. I feel like there's like black magic or something running through me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
Well, you see, the world powers, that's exactly what it is. It's black magic.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask God to break the connection.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Have you been doing the worship?
They connected back into my computer, didn't they?
I don't know. They're not supposed to be able to see anything that they connect, try to connect. The wall of fire is supposed to be between you and them. And it's supposed to just turn around and go back. Now, there can be something that wasn't touched before that has surfaced. Did you listen to the program last week?
Did I listen to?
No, that was this week. That was Wednesday.
Wednesday program.
Yes, I did. I didn't listen to it at the time it was done, but I listened to it the next day.
Okay, you heard the man getting all that deliverance.
Oh,
well,
yeah, that was big.
Well, you know, when we first started ministering to him, this is not the first deliverance he's had.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's faithful to call in. And so this was the real big deliverance that he needed. Don't hold back and don't not call in, because we want you to call. Okay.
But okay.
Sometimes the demons say, "Oh, don't call in." They'll say,
No. That's not it at all. It's just I've been doing some work, and sometimes I don't get out of there by 4:30, and it's a little bit later, and it just depends.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm trying to reschedule my time so I can be on the whole call. I mean, I got a lot out of the Wednesday night, but it's nothing like trying to be on the call at the same time that you guys are on the call.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us, according to Isaiah 59:19, that the enemy shall come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And in 2 Chronicles 2:11, least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
So
we all three come into agreement, and we break any kind of black magic. We break all technology machines. We command every satellite machine to malfunction. We command every computer to break. We command every person that's operating any kind of technology machines that they break in the name of Jesus, and we send back sevenfold everything that's been sent out. All black magic and psyops, you have to go back. And we command that you will loose this sister totally, and we cover her with the blood of Jesus. And Father God, we ask that you disconnect her from any of this technology or any witch wizard. Or any G's, whatever it is, God, we disconnect her right now. We cut the garlands, we cut the chains, the wavelengths, we cut the microwave links, everything that has come to evade. Come out. You've got to leave instantly.
We bind you with fetters of iron.
You just leave her now. You come out. You come out of her head. You come out of her ears, you come out of her hands, her legs, her spine, her entire body. Our chemical things, you leave too. You have no authority. Any spirit that tries to visit her, Father, I ask that you loose over my sister warring angels that will arrest them and send them to the feet of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Come out. Come out of the head right now. You're disconnected totally. All confusion, any religious devils, any devil that come and feed her at night time, out. Nothing can stay. And we put the wall of the Holy Spirit up right now. You have to obey. Take a deep cough and cough it out. All the way down to your stomach. Jerry?
Can you hear me?
Take a deep cough all the way down to the gut. Cough it out. Come on, go into that cave. Nothing can stop. Sherry, did we ever break the oath that you gave when you joined that group?
Both with the I am.
Yeah.
I know when I was there, the Lord had us say that we break all spiritual contracts and all oaths and vows. But if you're getting that, I break all oaths to the I am organization in the name of Jesus the Christ.
And the Ascended Masters.
Ascended Masters. In the name of Jesus the Christ.
Okay, now he's not Jesus the Christ, he's Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, say, I renounce Jesus the Christ.
I renounce Jesus the Christ.
And I worship Jesus.
And I worship Jesus.
Now, Jesus means Son of God, Son of the Living God, and the word Christ just means Anointed One. And so, just call him Jesus for a while until you get used to saying that. Jesus the Christ Spirit, come out, the guiding spirit.
In Jesus' name.
All spiritual guides, come out.
Come out. In Jesus'
name. Every blocking spirit, come out right now. Come out. Take a deep cough and just cough it out.
She's drinking the blood.
Drinking the blood of the Lamb.
She's drinking the blood of Jesus. She's drinking the blood of Jesus. She's drinking the blood.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to say, Jesus, fill all these empty places. Say,
Jesus,
I believe that you came in the flesh. And that you are filling all these empty places.
they're filling all of these empty places.
And I give you glory.
I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all of the glory and all of the praise.
Now just take a deep breath and let him just flood you with the Holy Spirit. Deep breath. Thank you, Jesus, with fire. And Lord, you will continue. You will continue to fill and surround her with all the warring angels from your throne, Father, that she needs for her divine protection and her mother's. And we give you praise and glory for her testimony. And we thank you for the job. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Sherry.
Oh, boy. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, I think I turned Marshall off instead of Sherry. Let me turn him off. All right. Bye-bye, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, Sherry, as you're going, I want you to look in context of that verse that Pat gave you in 2 Corinthians
2:11.
Yep,
I wrote it down.
Look at the verse before it. Because it talks about, if I forgive anything for whom I forgive it, for your sake I forgive it in the person of Christ. It's about forgiveness. And,
yep.
And just, because it's very sneaky. Sometimes we think we're being really humble, but what we're doing is we're beating up on ourselves. And
mm-hmm.
we have to not only forgive other people all the nasty things they've done, because they just were, it was the Spirit's using them. But we have to
right.
forgive ourselves, too. And I want to make sure you don't.
I actually verbally stated out loud every day that I forgive myself, but I have been having some spirit, like speaking directly into my ear, saying, "Oh, well, you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself," and it's like it's an excuse to be able to still hang around, and it's like, no, I forgive myself. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast you out.
Well, you sure do sound
better.
And Marshall, we got a whole bunch of calls.
Yeah, we do. We got a roll.
Okay.
We must have
you guys roll. God bless you.
Okay,
thank
call
you.
Us when you can.
Lord,
I will.
You.
Okay, bye bye.
770.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, snap, you can hear me?
Yes.
hello, everyone. My name's Walter. My friend Nicole invited me over to your broadcast thing. So it's pretty cool, actually, that I have a question. What's the difference between Jesus the Christ and Jesus Christ?
That's a very, very good question. Because Jesus Christ means Jesus, Son of God, the Anointed One. Now, Jesus the Christ means that the New Age movement have been praying for and believing for a man to step on the world scene that they call the Christ. They call Jesus a prophet, not the Son of God. We call Jesus the Son of God, the Son of the Living God. And so it's a difference of terminology, where they're looking for a man to come into the world that will rule over the world that the Christians call the Antichrist. Jesus is the Son of God that came into the world to save us from our sins, and he died on the cross for us so that we can go to heaven. Now, Marshall, you want to mention or talk to him for few seconds. We've got a lot of calls.
Sir, do you want prayer? Okay, Marshall, why don't you minister to him in prayer?
Lead him in the sinner's prayer, Marshall.
Well, I'm already saved, but...
Tell me quickly, Walter, briefly. I don't mean to rush you, but when did you come to faith in Jesus, and what does that mean to you?
17 years old is when I gave my life to Christ. And, geez, everything to me, because I was horrifyingly addicted to porn. And when I gave my life to Christ, I was finally free of that horrid mess. That's a quick version.
Did I turn him up again?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I turned you off again. I'm trying to turn me off. I'm going off so that you can hear him better. Okay,
yeah,
Marshall?
Walter? Yeah, Walter, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, I was a believer in Jesus for over 20 years, but I didn't understand part of it, and I think it's an ongoing revelation that the Lord gives us. So I want to ask you this question. There's a scripture in Galatians 2:20 that says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What is the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? What's Jesus' faith in, Walter?
His faith?
What's Jesus' faith in? He says, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It says in Habakkuk 2, the just shall live by his faith. What is the Son of God's faith in? What's his faith in? We're living by his faith. What is it?
That's in his Father, Yahweh, right?
He has faith in his Father. That's true. That's true. And how was that manifested? Let me ask you in another way. Why did he die on the cross?
To take the punishment for my sins and everyone else's.
And why was that necessary?
That was necessary so I won't have to be eternally separated from him.
Yeah, I you're right, but I'm talking about scripturally. Here, let me just explain it to you as best I can, very simply. Jesus is the Word of God, correct, in John chapter 1?
Of course.
Okay. And he knows the Word of God, and he knows that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no removal of sin, right?
Yes.
And he asked the Father to take the cup away from him, the cup of bitterness, if it were possible. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. So what was the Father's will? Was it that Jesus would shed his blood? And what was that necessary?
I believe there's a Greek word called hamartion, which means a sacrifice for sins.
I'm trying to explain it as simply, and it's taken me several decades to begin to catch on to this, but it's very simple in that if you look at the Old Testament, the high priest of the Day of Atonement, they could never go into the holiest of all without blood, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And when Moses interceded the people went before the Lord, he said, "Behold the blood of the covenant." I think it's in Exodus 24. It always focuses on the blood, and it's not ordinary blood. It's not the blood of just any old man, not just the blood of any old sheep. John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." On the Day of Atonement, they had to sacrifice a spotless lamb. Right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I hope you're... Anyway, you ask the Lord to show you these things, but in the meantime, let's just have a quick prayer. And I'm doing this. You can join me if you like. If you feel uncomfortable in any way, you don't have to. I'm not trying to force anything. But Father God,
okay.
I come before you in Jesus' name.
I come before you in Jesus' name.
And I've already repented of all sins.
And I've already repented of all sins.
And if there's anything you want me to change in my life.
And if there's anything you want me to change in my life.
I ask that the Lord Jesus reveal it to me by his word.
I ask that the Lord Jesus reveal it to me by his word.
And by his spirit.
And by his spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
Jesus, you're my master.
Jesus, you're my master.
And I believe not just in my head.
I believe not just in my head.
But in my heart.
But in my heart.
Father, you've raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Father, you raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
And I thank you for saving me.
And I thank you for saving me.
And Father.
And Father.
I ask that the Lord Jesus baptize me afresh.
I ask that the Lord Jesus baptize me afresh.
With the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost.
And holy fire.
And holy fire.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Because of the blood of the covenant.
Because of the blood of the covenant.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Jesus.
Amen. He's awesome, Walter. I just want to encourage you to meditate, because there's a lot of people that don't understand, and I was one of them for a long, long time. I thought I just got to say this little prayer, and then I can just live any way I wanted to, and that the Lord would bless me, and I get to go to heaven someday. But then I found out that there's a little bit more to this than meets the eye, and the only covenant we have in the 21st century in America, which isn't too well understood either, is the marriage covenant. And it's supposed to be forever. And when we enter into that covenant with the Lord Jesus, it is eternal. From his point of view, it's eternal. We can turn away from him individually. That's why there's people that are called backsliders, and I was one of them too for a while. And I don't think you have, but I don't know you, Walter. But I just want to say that if you press in to know him better, you'll find out how important the blood is. The demons are terrified by the blood of Jesus. Because it is the blood of the Creator God. And he loves you, which is why he shed his blood for you. God bless you, Walter.
If he got baptism, did you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
But what was that? I couldn't hear you. What did he say?
Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?
With the evidence of speaking.
With tongues?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you call us back now and let us know how you're doing, okay?
We're here every Wednesday and every Friday at 7:30.
Just for you. God bless you.
Okay.
God bless. Okay. Let me type in. We got 11 callers.
Let's
six,
go.
360.
Hello.
360.
Hi. God bless you all. This is Carolyn calling. I wanted some prayer for kind of like oppression. Mental illness runs in my family, and I don't have a diagnosis of any type of mental illness, but for most of my life, I've kind of struggled with, kind of like oppression, kind of like a underlying fear, so to speak, just struggling constantly. And then also, I wanted to ask for prayer to be able to understand the Lord better, to hear His voice, and understand dreams that He gives me.
Okay. Dr. Sabrina wants to pray for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Sister, does this run down your family line?
Mental illness runs down the family line, yes, on my mother's side.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask that you forgive my sins.
I ask that you forgive my sins.
And the sins.
And the sins.
Of all my ancestors.
Of all my ancestors.
All the way back to Adam and Eve.
All the way back to Adam and Eve.
All of our trespasses.
All of our trespasses.
And all of the ways.
And all the ways.
That we have rebelled.
That we have rebelled.
Against you.
Against you.
I ask your forgiveness.
I ask your forgiveness.
And I ask your healing.
And I ask your healing.
And deliverance.
And deliverance.
For myself.
For myself.
And all of my relatives who are alive on the earth.
And all of my relatives who are alive on the earth.
Whether I have met them or not.
Whether I have met them or not.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
And I remit their sins.
And I remit their sins.
And I forgive myself as well.
And I forgive myself as well.
All right. Father, in Jesus' name, you've heard this sister's prayer, and we stand in agreement as one man with her, Father. We take authority, dominion, and power from our positions, offices, and callings, seated next to in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask you to look now upon the seed, the very seed that caused that to begin in her family line, the very seed from which that sin, that iniquity bloomed, in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over that seed, and we bind it. We cage it, and we chain it in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you uproot it out of the family line and everything that came forth from it in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you have mercy on this family and on this sister, and that you deliver and heal each one of them from these diseases, from these sins, from these trespasses, from these iniquities in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that especially all of those who have already confessed Jesus Christ, that they experience, along with Carolyn, this deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. Now we bind, cage, and chain each of those demons individually as solitary entities in Jesus' name. We command you to come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus. Father, we take authority over the strong man, and we bind him with fetters of iron and everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. We send him into the cage now in the name of Jesus. We cut this sister off with the sword of the Lord from the very seed and root of this in Jesus' name. The Bible declares that we are to be single-minded. The Bible declares that you have not given us any other spirit but the mind of Christ. So we receive the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. We bind all insanity, all fear. The root of fear, we bind, cage, and chain in Jesus' name. Come up and out of Carolyn in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of this, sister, in Jesus' name. Sister, you need to call from the gut. Come on out. Leviathan, we cut your seven heads off now in the name of Jesus. We cut off your tail. We unscale you. We descale you now in Jesus' name. We put out the fire that comes out of your nostrils in Jesus' name. Come out of this, sister, from the root, from the base of the spine. You have no right. The blood of Jesus lives there. The blood is there. The blood of Jesus Christ is there. You cannot remain. Every Python spirit, we cut you asunder in Jesus' name. Come up and out of this, sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every sexual spirit, every marine spirit, we bind you, we cage you, chain you with everlasting chains. Come out of this, sister, in Jesus' name. Her mind does not belong to you, neither the mind of her loved ones. Come out in Jesus' name. All drug abuse down the family line, wherever it may be, every addiction is bound, chained, and caged in Jesus' name. Come out, regardless of what you mean, every spirit named and not named, every hidden demon, you come out now. Jesus' name. We call you out. We uncover you. You can stealth no longer. We bind your stealthing in Jesus' name. Come out of this, sister. Lasciviousness, you come out in Jesus' name. Licentiousness, you come out in Jesus' name. All uncleanness, you come out in Jesus' name. Bound and caged, come out in Jesus' name. The result of sexual sin down the family line, you come out in Jesus' name. Every sexual sin or disorder, come out in Jesus' name. Every impure spirit, you are bound and caged, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of witchcraft is bound. Every spirit of the occult is bound in Jesus' name. All magic spells, all vexes, hexes, and spells are bound and caged in Jesus' name. All trance spirits, bound and caged, come out in Jesus' name. All demons speaking into the mind, bound, caged, and your ability to speak stripped from you in Jesus' name. We break the agreements of these devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every vow, agreement, and oath that gave them power and authority in Jesus' name. We strip it from them, and we transfer with the authority of the new covenant that power back to Jesus Christ, because all power belongs to God. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her family line. Come out. Come out. You cannot stay in Jesus' name. There is no place for you there. She belongs to Jesus Christ.
You getting anything? No.
Amen. Amen.
What church you go to, sister?
I'm not going to church right now. I'm searching. I've just recently moved to another state, so I'm looking for a church. I'm not going right now.
Well, welcome to Blog Talk is your church until Jesus moves you elsewhere.
Thank you very much.
And you can come back up and join us. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much.
Father, we thank you, God, over this sister and over her family line in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you sever every ungodly soul tie that has linked itself into this family line by marriage or by any other covenant or trust in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that where they were once connected to you, to the evil soul tie, that you reconnect them into yourself, to your own spirit. Father, we release the spirit of the living God on this sister right now. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you come and you baptize this sister afresh with the Holy Spirit and with holy fire in Jesus' name. Sister, receive the spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Now, sister, don't let anybody lay hands on you to pray for you, all right? Stay clean.
No, I won't.
Play the word
I sure
of God. Play the scriptures. You have the King James Version on tape. If you do not, you can play it over your computer on BibleGateway.com. Play the word over you. I recommend that you take communion tonight after we get off the air, that you give yourself communion, and you stay in the word. Amen?
Amen. Thank you all very much. God bless you all.
Call us back on Wednesday night and invite others to join you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 208.
Hi, Pat. It's Nicole.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
God bless all of you. Good show tonight. I was just calling in. I want prayer, but I kind of want to see where the Holy Spirit leads on what to pray for, maybe more deliverance or whatnot. But that's all. Thank you.
Okay, Marshall.
Yes, Pat.
Nicole wants someone to pray for, and God said, let Marshall do it.
Nicole, I think we all need to meditate on how much the Lord loves each one of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for you too. Amen?
Amen.
Because sometimes we're looking for love in people that we can see, you know, which is great. But the ultimate love is God, who is love. He's a very holy God, but he still came down from heaven. He still came in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I don't know, Lord, help us to, each of us, especially Nicole, but help each of us to appropriate that intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Father, the way you want, in Jesus' name, and with you, Heavenly Father. Because it says in your word, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us in 1 John 4:10, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or that substitute for our sins. He took the spanking for us, and a whole lot worse than a spanking. Mm-hmm. He took the separation from the Most High God, who we've been always one with from eternity past. You know, and that is extraordinary. I mean, the torture he went through, and the physical, and you know, he was despised and rejected so that Nicole could be accepted, and each of us could be accepted in the Beloved, because he went through that for you, for the joy that was set before him, and that joy is you, each one who's listening, but especially you, Nicole, because he wants to get through to your spirit woman, to your spirit man, to say that I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus, and we know how you've expressed that love by sending Jesus forth to be the propitiation for Nicole's sins in the past, and my sins, and Dr. Sabrina's, and Dr. Pat's, and each one of our sins. And we thank you, Jesus, for stretching out your arms so wide and saying, I love you this much, and giving us your all, and of your fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. We thank you for that extravagant grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So, Father, we ask that that be manifest in Nicole's life and each one of our lives, that you change us all from glory to glory as we behold your glory with open face, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that that love that covers a multitude of sins for any one of us, and Nicole might not have had as many as some people, but we've all had enough that have separated us from the Godhead in the past. But Father, we're so grateful for 1 John 1:9. We're so grateful that you forgive us when we ask, in Jesus' name. And we're so grateful. You said, Father, in your word, oh Lord, Jesus said, hearing it, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So glory and dominion to you, King Jesus, forever and ever. And I plead and sprinkle that blood as one of your priests, Father, under my high priest, the Lord Jesus, over Nicole, spirit, soul, and body, and over her heart and over her mind, and over every opening of that temple of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you began a good work in Nicole, is carrying it on to completion. We thank you for the work of your spirit in Nicole's life. We thank you for changing her from glory to glory, day by day, moment by moment. We thank you that she can gaze into your eyes, and your eyes are red with wine. Your eyes is a flame of fire. You look deep into her heart, and you know what's in her heart, because you're in there. Christ in you, Nicole, the hope of glory. And if you, Nicole, were the only person who ever lived in the entire universe, even if Dr. Pat never lived, you know, even if Dr. Sabrina never lived, he would have shed his blood for you if you were the only one to redeem you, because he wants to spend all eternity with you. This little time here on earth, even if we live 500 years or 1,000 years, you know, even Methuselah didn't quite make it to 1,000 years, is nothing. It's a blink compared to eternity. And he's creating a wonderful place. He's up there preparing a place for you because he wants to be with you. But he wants to be with you right now. For godliness is profitable unto all things, the life which now is and the life which is to come. Which is why we turn away from those things that we used to be entertaining in the past, like the spirits of self-pity, the spirits of self-rejection, all that garbage we've had, most of us have had in the past, because everybody's been rejected by somebody somewhere. You know, Jesus was despised and rejected by the people he created. He came to the Jews. He created them. He's the creator. And they despised and rejected him. Most of them did, not everybody. You know, but you know, he even spoke to Peter, said, when you're converted, to Peter, who spent 3 years with him, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And it's awesome to be converted. And I don't know exactly what that means in the intellect, but I know it just means getting closer and closer to him, because he wants us to know his Father the way he knows his Father. And he has a great daddy, an awesome heavenly Father. He's very holy. He's very just. But he loves us with an extraordinary love that our natural fathers have never been able to express to us. And sometimes we allow that relationship with our natural Father, to interfere with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, Father, I ask that, even as you said in the last words of the Old Testament, how Elijah would come and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the fathers to their children, that Father, Heavenly Father, that you would restore Nicole's heart to you, even and into her natural father, assuming he's still alive, and I don't know if he is,
yes.
In the ways that you want, Father, in Jesus' name, in a holy way, in a righteous way, Father. Even if she had a father who wasn't so holy and righteous, but you know everybody's heart, Father. Restore the hearts of the children to their fathers so that she can have that relationship with you, Father, that you always wanted from before the foundation of the world, in Jesus' name, that she can truly worship you in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And we ask you this, Father, in Jesus' name, because Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And I think that's what we all want. We want that fullness of joy, right? That it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives in the natural. We can say, I know that I know that my God loves me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, like it says toward the end of the book of Romans chapter 8. So I encourage you to meditate on those different verses. There's so many about his wonderful love for us. And because that's what changes our hearts, when we know that he loves us no matter what's going on. When I've messed up, I get to just simply repent, and he immediately forgives me, and I'm back in fellowship again. And it's just awesome. Isn't he awesome?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Well, God,
thank you.
You and call us back.
Okay, thank you. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. He loves you more.
God bless. Okay. Tanya.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I called on Wednesday, and I'm calling back again for more prayer.
Good.
So I've been fasting. So I'd like prayer for direction on how to continue my fast, like the way I should be fasting, that in my fast I would get delivered also, like, from soul ties, from, because I'm very shy, like, around people that I don't know, that shyness also would, the Lord would help me to be delivered from that. And also another thing is, I've been having a bit of hemorrhoids, like, for more than 2 months, and, like, they're not gone yet, so maybe some prayer for that too.
Okay, Dr. Sabrina.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together on behalf of our sister who has stated her prayer request before you. Father, she's fasting and she's seeking your face. And we know from your holy word, Father, that fasting breaks the yoke. It destroys the yoke of the enemy. It breaks bonds. It allows freedom to come where there was once a problem, where there was once constraint, where deliverance is needed, Father. So we thank you for our sister's fast, Father, in Jesus' name. The Lord says for you to continue fasting as you have been doing. He has accepted. Fast and continue as you have been doing.
Okay.
Thank you. And Father, she's brought this situation about the hemorrhoids, and she's looking for directions, Father. So many questions I perceive that she has in her mind and in her heart that she wants an answer to. But Father, I thank you that as she continues on the fast and continues to walk in this grace, that her emotions will be stilled and that her mind will become quiet and that she will hear you more clearly as she proceeds on her fast. I thank you, Father, that her anxiousness will subside and that your peace will take over in Jesus' name. I take authority, dominion, and power over anxious thoughts in Jesus' name. And I bind them and cage them, and I cut you off from their source in Jesus' name. I shut to the mouth of every evil spirit that would speak into your mind. I speak to every impatient spirit. I bind you and cage you in And thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you to be still and know that I am God. He needs you to be still, not just still in your physical body, but still in your mind and in your heart. And okay. Know that he's God. You need to go look that scripture up. It's in Psalms.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over those hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus. They are not a part of the covenant. They are part of the curse. We bind them and cage them, and we command them to shrink and go away in Jesus' name. We say they are not sent of Almighty God. They are an outworking of some other thing that is not God. They are outside the order of God, so we curse them with the blood of Jesus Christ. We bind them, cage them, and chain them in Jesus' name, and we command them to come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus. We cut her off from the very source of them. If it's coming down the family line, Father, we release forgiveness up the family line. Hallelujah. That's it. We release forgiveness up the family line, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you forgive the sins of her ancestors all the way back to Adam and Eve, and that you shut every evil door in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the strong man that brought them in Jesus' name. We bind every demon that has participated in this affliction in Jesus' name. We cage you and chain you with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. Now, sister, I need you to cough. Cough up, those spirits. Come on. Come on out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the bloodstream in the name of Jesus Christ. Every enemy of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is in her bloodstream. You come out now, bound, chained, and caged in Jesus' name. Come out, every enemy. Every foul, unclean spirit, you come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit that wars against her mind, God has given her a single mind. He's given her the mind of Christ. Every spirit in her that wars against the mind of Christ, we bind you and cage you. Come out now. You have no right to remain. The blood of Jesus, we force the blood of Jesus against you. We press the blood against you in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit affecting the spine, all of you, come out. Bound, caged, chained. We cut you off from her with the sword of the Lord in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of the spine. Kundalini, you come out. Every religious spirit, bound, caged, and chained. We make you solitary entities, and we break down your defenses. We tear down every defense that you have. We cut off your heads and your tails. Unhook out of her spine and come out now in Jesus' name. We break your claws with the sword of the Lord in Jesus' name. I need you to cough again, darling. There you go. Come out of the mind. Come out of the mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you go into her subconscious and rout out those devils that have been placed there in Jesus' name over the years. Come out of the mind in Jesus' name. Come out now. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Cough again, sister. Come on out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you send her, give her additional grace and strength to remain on the fast for as long as you would have her to be there, Father. We know that she has a breakthrough coming up, and that's why the enemy is fighting her so hard. But, Father, we stand in agreement with our sister for her breakthrough, for her coming through to the other side. We declare that you are Jehovah Perazim, the Lord our God of the breakthrough. Father, I ask also that you send the Lord Jesus Christ to her to baptize her afresh with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We thank you for the fire of God burning out every spirit that was not named in Jesus' name. Holy fire on every spirit that was not named in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Father. Now, we thank you, Lord God, that those hemorrhoids shrink and that they shrink now. We thank you, Lord, that there'll be no further problems with the hemorrhoids for the remainder of her life on this earth. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Sister, you need to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen.
Well, God bless you. Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
We'll hear from you on Wednesday night, okay, sister?
Oh, okay.
All right, we're looking forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's see. We got someone calls tonight. 832, you're on the air.
Yes, good night.
Hello.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hello. Hello. Yes, praise the Lord. This is Richard.
Hi, Richard. Oh, you sound good.
Yes, well, I started off rough this morning because my head was being attacked, and then I got more marks on my body coming up on my right shoulder, near to my neck. So my feet hurt. My eyes were kind of blurry. But I spend the latter half of the day just praying, and so my head is much better now than it was this morning. But I need continued deliverance until all of this stuff is gone.
Okay, Brother Marshall. Richard.
Yes.
Father, we ask for your wisdom in Jesus' name. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Because you know exactly what's going on. You know what has been sent against Richard and why he has responded the way he is, or why his body has responded the way it has. And sometimes they're just lying spirits, Father. So we ask you to give Richard increased boldness. It says in your word, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Teach Richard, Father God, how you want him to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Because we know that in the past, and he's repented, that he's gone off in the past, as most of us have to some degree, in entertaining occultic things, Father God, or things that were not of you. But we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy that's sufficient. We thank you, Father God, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we also know, Father God, your word says in Proverbs 18:21, I believe it is, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So teach Richard how to express his challenges the way you want him to, Father God, in Jesus' name. And teach him, Father God, the power of Christ in him, the hope of glory, that anointed one that Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And Jesus prayed to you, Heavenly Father, to send the Holy Ghost to be with each of us that have asked for the Holy Spirit forever. Not just this life, but forever. And we know, Father, Jesus only speaks your words that you've given him to speak. And we know that he prays your heart for Richard and for each one of us. So, Father, we ask afresh, because it's not by human might or human power. It's by your spirit, Father God. We know that if a person walks into a dark room and flicks on the light switch, the darkness is gone. It's light. You can see. Now, there may be a couple little dark corners, but Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you've translated Richard from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we ask, Father, that he who began a good work in Richard and each one of us is carrying it on to completion, that you'll carry that on to completion, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And we bind every dark spirit, every spirit sent on assignment to steal, kill, and or destroy. We return sevenfold to sender in Jesus' name. For Richard has repented of all sin. You have no legal right in Jesus' name. And, Father, we ask, Father, that the Lord Jesus baptized Richard afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, Father God. Because Jesus said over in Zechariah 2:5, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst. And we thank you, Father God, for your promises. Even at the end of Psalm 86, you said, help me, Father, remember how that goes, Lord. I guess I could look it up. But, Father God, you said, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. For thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. We thank you, Lord, for helping Richard and comforting him.
Thank you,
we thank you for sending the Holy Comforter, the Holy Ghost, Father God. We thank you for that counselor, that one who teaches us, who guides us into all truth. We ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost to guide Richard and each one of us into all truth, Father God. Deliver us from every spirit of error, Father God, because we dabbled with error in the past, but we don't want it anymore. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't want anything to do with lies, Father God. And in all those occultic things, they're all lies. There's a mixture. There's always a mixture in all those occultic things. And we repent and turn from them, Father, and we ask you to deliver us, Father, because it says in your word, Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. And it's because of the blood of the covenant, Father. And you said, Father, in Exodus 12:13, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And Richard, I don't know if you understand the power of taking communion. And you can do it because you're the priest over your own temple, the Holy Spirit, correct? He's calling you a priest over in Revelation 1:6. And in other places, in 1 Peter, I believe it is, there's several places he calls us kings and priests unto his heavenly Father. So, Father, you called Richard to be a priest to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And he can have communion, Father God. He can have intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He can have that blood on his lips. And then the enemy sees that blood. The enemy is absolutely terrified because that's the blood of the Creator who created Satan, all the little ones. That came along. Of course, he wasn't Satan in the beginning. He was just Lucifer. He was just one of the archangels, Father God. But he went off the path, Father. But Richard's back on the path, and we thank you for keeping him in the way of holiness, Father. We ask you to do so, Father, because the enemy cannot touch anyone on that way of holiness, Father God. When Richard is walking in Christ, living and moving and having his being in Jesus Christ, the enemy cannot touch you. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil.
Amen.
Hide that word in your heart. That's in Proverbs 19:23. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And you need to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil with that word and any other word the Holy Spirit gives you, and he's out of there. In Jesus' name, when he sees the blood on that temple, the Holy Spirit says, "Ooh, Richard belongs to Jesus. I can't touch him. Uh-oh, off limits, too hot to handle, because Jesus, he is protecting you with that wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5, and it goes with communion. And if you read Psalm 91, after you have communion, I can guarantee you, assuming you've repented of all sins, I can guarantee you the enemy cannot touch you in Jesus' name. It's a guaranteed, it's a covenant promise, and he gives his angels charge over you in Jesus' name. And so, Richard, I just ask you to take advantage of what he has for you, his awesome love that casts out all fear, fear of evil, and every other ungodly thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, guy, we'll talk to you
on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Okay. God bless you. Have a good night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you for your angels watching over Richard continually in Jesus' name.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Marshall.
Hi there.
Hi, Marshall.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Well, we were busy.
Yeah, you guys are busy. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah, so I'm calling. Sabrina mentioned about emotional healing, and I really believe that the pain that I've been experiencing is probably due to emotional pain, and it turns into a physical pain, and that's how the enemy attacks me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, but Marshall, you want to minister to Nicole?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit minister to Nicole. If you want to work through me, I'm available, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. And you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for one, you can do for another. I think about not only my life, and I was delivered of all kinds of nasty things. And I'm so grateful, Lord. And there's maybe a few more that need to go. But you're doing a great work, Lord, and I'm so grateful that you did that with Rahab, Father God. You know, she was looking for love in the wrong places. She was looking for a source, you know, Rahab over in the beginning of Joshua, chapter 2, I think. And she recognized the true and living God, just like you have, Nicole. And she knew that true and living God was the God. There's no other God. Amen? And she had a holy fear of God. And it not only delivered her, and not only set her straight, because she had to change her whole way of life, her whole way of thinking, her livelihood. Yeah. She had to have a vocational change, right? And she had a new God, and she had a new people, because she had to leave Jericho. even though her house was right on the walls, it came tumbling down. The Lord delivered her and her whole family. And the Lord's delivering you, Nicole, and your whole family, because he guarantees to circumcise your heart and the heart of those nearest and dearest to you. You can read Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, because that's what he likes to do. He likes to change our hearts. And and for me, you know, I'm thinking about over in the in not only the 23rd Psalm, but there's a lot of places. How about Psalm 34, the last verse? It says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants." So he redeemed my soul. My soul was a mess, okay? But he redeemed me, and he's no respecter of persons. And over in the 23rd Psalm, verse 6, where is it? Verse 6, where is it, Lord? No, verse 3. "He restoreth my soul." This is said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." You know, I used to be scared of the big water, you know, the waves at the beach, you know. But he leads me beside the still waters, the water of the Word. He washes us in the water of the Word. You hear it lap over you gently, saying, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I was despised and rejected, so you, Nicole, are accepted in the Beloved." So he's restoring your soul, and it comes by lining ourselves up with his way of thinking, by the fact that he knows that you were worth it all, for him to pour out all of his soul, all of his blood for you. If you were the only one who ever lived, he would have done that for you. And when you get a handle on that, and you start to say, wow, this is really important, because the Last Supper was the last thing he left us with, because he wants us to know. He wants us to know that it's available for all of us, that we can be partakers of the divine nature in the way that he said. We receive his fullness, you know. "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, the sons and daughters of God." It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name." And his name's on your lips because he loves you. And when the enemy sees that, all those little spirits that says, "I'm no good, nobody likes me," and all those lying spirits that are sent from the enemy to cause us to not be who he created us to be, but to line ourselves up with the stinking thinking, that all those things, they have to go. They just have to go in Jesus' name, because his love covers a multitude of sins. And I don't know about you, but I used to be controlled by a spirit of ungodly fear of rejection, fear of tomorrow, fear of man, all those things, a spirit of self-hatred. You know, they're nasty, nasty little spirits, and they're not you, and they're not the way you think. And I want to say, I'm sure we've talked about it before, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's, I don't remember exactly where it is, 2 Corinthians 10, is it verse 5? That we have to be able to take authority over those thoughts in our heads, and we speak to them out loud.
Amen.
Amen. And when you do that, after you have communion, then the blood's on your lips, and the spirits know you mean business. So we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I do that for me, and I do that for you, Nicole. But you need to do that for yourself. Can you just say with me? I cast down imagination and every high thing
that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Yes, against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity
every thought
to the obedience of Christ,
to the obedience of Christ Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, but he loves you a whole lot more. And he does. He's in the business of restoring souls. And if you don't know that's true, you can, where is that, Lord? Oh, you can read the story in Daniel chapter 4, verses 15 to 30, or even 33 and beyond. And it's a story about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and he got lifted up with pride. And the Lord said, "Well, you may be the head of gold on this revelation that Daniel got about the all of mankind. But guess what? Guess who's in charge? God's in charge. And you're going to be like one of the oxen out there eating grass for 7 years.
Right.
And your body's going to be wet with the dew of heaven for 7 years. But then everything's going to be restored." And it was. but he wasn't puffed up with pride anymore. He had a very, because that's where we all need to be. We all need to have a holy fear of the true and living God, and and don't beat up on yourself, because he doesn't make junk. Amen?
Okay. Thank you. Amen. You have a lot of phone calls, so I had a question, but I guess I'll ask it next.
No, you can ask the question.
Well, what's more important actually is praying for my mom and my daughter, because they really need emotional healing too. So I'll save the question for next week, and maybe we can pray for my mom and daughter. Like, the whole family really needs healing. And I pray for them every day, but, you know, when we come in accord, like when two or more gather in his name, right? So it would be great if we could all pray together for that.
Well, now is the day of salvation. Quickly. Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace for Nicole and her whole family and all of our families, Father, in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit to minister to each one, Father God, to draw each one to the Lord Jesus and his perfect love, Father God, that will not only get our hearts and our spirits lined up with you, Father God, but our minds as well. We will be renewed in our minds, Father God, and that we restore each one of our souls for Nicole and all of her family members, for her mother, for her daughter, for all of our family members, including for Nicole, of course, but each one of us, and for all of our family members, for Nicole and her family members, in Jesus' name. Because you said in your word, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. We ask you, Father, because of the blood of the covenant, and Jesus can't lie, Father, we thank you for doing so, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you all.
Okay, Marshall, we have a prayer request for a man named Mac. I think he's a backslidden Christian. He's had a lot of rejection and persecution in his life, and he's not going to church at this point. He's even experienced the death of one of his sons. So if you could lift him up in prayer, we'll all be in agreement as the Holy Spirit leads.
Father, I do ask for the leading of your Spirit in Jesus' name as we come boldly before your throne of grace because of the blood of the covenant. And as your priest, Father God, one of your priests under the Lord Jesus, I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus over Matt, over his mind, over his heart, over his spirit, and over every opening of that temple of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask that you send the Holy Ghost to Matt. Forgive him, Father. He didn't know what he was doing, Father. Forgive him and restore him. I ask you, Father, to fully sozo Matt. Save, heal, deliver, preserve, and make whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Do a great work in him, Father God. Send the Holy Spirit, Father God, to draw him to the Lord Jesus in a fresh and a new way, Father God, in Jesus' name. Cause him, Father God, to experience that intimacy that even Adam experienced before the fall, to walk with the Lord in the coolness of the day, and to hear him speak to his heart of hearts, and to be able to have an ongoing relationship with the Creator, his Creator, and the lover of his soul, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to do a great work in his life, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement according to your word in Matthew 18:19, and also according to your word in John 16:23-24. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. You ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. May Richard, all those, Matt, and all those we pray for, experience that joy, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have...
Hello?
Speaking, John.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Cassia.
Hi. I do have a praise report and I have a prayer request. I called for prayer for a lady that I was taking care of. She was on hospice care and she was dying, and she finally, you know, said a prayer with me, accepted Jesus. Sometimes she's kind of unsure of her unbelief and stuff. She does have dementia, but then she's doing better. I said a prayer for her to be for the Lord to cure her, and they are taking her off the hospice program because she's really improving. So I want to give a praise report. Amen. And I do have a prayer request, please, for the Spirit of the Lord to lead me, you know, in inviting people, like, into my circle, like the circle of friends or the people that I entertain, you know, to be around me. I want the Lord to lead me more. Amen.
Marshall,
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Marshall.
Hello.
Hello there. I'm here. Father, we come before you for Cassia in Jesus' name. We ask that that comforter come to Cassia afresh, Father God. You send the Holy Spirit afresh in Jesus' name. That the Lord Jesus baptize Cassia afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. And it says in your word in John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also say, Father God, Jesus speaking, your word says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to minister to Cassia every way that she needs, Father God, and to guide her into all truth, Father God, in Jesus' name. That he will speak the words that Cassia needs to hear to her inner man, to her inner woman, Father God, in Jesus' name. And that you'll order her thoughts and her steps and grant her every gift by your good spirit that she needs, including the gift of discernment, Father, that she'll be where you want, when you want, Father God. We ask you to order her thoughts and order her steps, Father God. Have beautiful the feet of those that bring good news. We thank you for giving Cassia beautiful feet as she shared the good news of your gospel with the lady that she's been taking care of. We thank you for the praise report that she's given us tonight, that you're changing that woman and you're delivering her and changing her from glory to glory, Father. We ask you to do more and more for Cassia, Father God, and lead her in the way you want her to go by your good spirit. She'll hear that voice behind her saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And she'll know that your sheep, Lord Jesus, hear your voice. They don't hear the voice of a stranger. That you'll tell her exactly which way you want her to be, and that she'll be exactly where you want every moment of her life, Father. Not only physically, but her head and her mind and her heart will be where you want them to be, in absolute confidence in your love and your protection and your blood covenant, and that you'll never leave her nor forsake her, and that you're there for her every moment. And that she will boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, like you say over in Hebrews 13. And we thank you for being for her and not against her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You call us back again on Wednesday, Cassia, and the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Lord, continue to bless you in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Brother Marshall, we have another prayer request. It's for a Hector. He has experienced poor parenting, a street life, drugs, crime, prison. His mother passed, but he was so high he has no memory of it. There seems to be a hit now out on his life. And the prayer request is for God to have mercy upon him. So if you pray, we'll agree.
Father, we come very boldly and before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And it says in your word that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And it says in your word that God will have all men to be saved, to be sozo, Father God, saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. We know that's your will, Father. We ask that your will be done in Hector's life, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost to draw Hector to the real Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether he knows him or not, Lord, but if he does, I ask you to draw him afresh to the Lord Jesus, Father. And if he doesn't know Jesus, draw him to the Lord Jesus. And send the proper laborers. He says in your word, the laborers are few, Father. So we ask you to send forth the proper laborers into the harvest for Hector, Father God. It says that the good shepherd leaves his 99 and goes after the one lost sheep, Father. And he rejoices when he comes back. And the angels rejoice when one sinner repents, Father. And we thank you, Father God, for changing Hector's heart, Father God. Because it sounds like he's been looking for that thing that he needed his whole life, which is you, which is that perfect love that his parents were not able to give him. So, Father, we ask you to deliver him from every unloving spirit, Father, and all other ungodly spirits, Father, in Jesus' name. Every spirit associated with addictions, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you to deliver him, Father, in Jesus' name. In agreement, Father, according to your word in Matthew 18:19 as well, in Jesus' name. We ask you to deliver him fully, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to have mercy on his soul, Father God, and write his name in the Lamb's Book book of life, Father, in Jesus' name. And as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, according to your word in Ephesians 2:6, and according to the end of Psalm 91, we thank you for the privilege of knowing your name, Most High God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, I am that I am. Thank you, Alpha and Omega. Father, that as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, looking down from beneath the feet of Christ Jesus up here in the third heaven by faith in your word, we speak to the demons in the second heavens and command them to have nothing further to do with Hector and all those connected related to him from henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, command there be no further flow of power communication with the demons in the second heavens and the demons in the first heavens. In Jesus' name, we bind every ungodly spirit, including you, Beelzebub, and every underling. We command you, Satan, to remove every spirit of doubt and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving atonement. And his perfect love that casts out all ungodly spirits of fear in Jesus' name. And we take authority over every ungodly spirit trying to manifest through Hector's life, speaking to his heart and his mind. And we bind everyone with everlasting chains and supernatural fetters, command them all to be thrust into individual and separate cages in Jesus' name. Those named and those not named, not only unloving spirits, but all ungodly spirits, all antichrist spirits, and all spirits of feet running to mischief, every spirit of rebellion, every spirit that is contrary to the Most High God, that are all bound in supernatural fetters, supernatural chains, thrust into individual cages, and all locked into the key of David, as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus, we declare it in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you to do an awesome work in Hector's life. We ask, God, that the Lord Jesus baptize him with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, that you fill him, Father God, with the evidence of speaking in another language, Father God. And we ask, Father God, to use him mightily, that the Holy Spirit give him every gift that you wish to give him, Father God, because you use the weak things of the earth to confound the wise and the mighty, Father. And we ask you to use him mightily for your kingdom, Father God. For those that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits, that he will become strong with the Holy Ghost in him, Father God, and do exploits for you and for your kingdom. And we're all in agreement according to your word. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm asking, Father, because of the blood of the covenant with my big brother Jesus, whoever lives to make intercession for us, we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we also ask in Jesus' name that you hide Hector from his enemies in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you make blind eyes to see and you make seeing eyes blind. So the eyes that are watching for him, that are looking for him to hurt him, we ask you to blind them to him wherever he is in Jesus' name. Father, I've heard testimony where people walked out under your power right in front of those that were looking for them, and they could not see them. So we ask, Father, now, we call on your miracle-working power to do the same for Hector, that no matter where he is and what he is doing, that the enemy cannot find him, cannot see him, and cannot locate him. We ask you to hide him in the cleft of the rock, Father, in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise, the glory, and honor as you reach for his soul, as you touch his life, and Lord Jesus, everything that you can do for him, do so. We thank you and we give you praise for the testimony that will come as a result of his salvation and him receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord God, for all those who have never heard your name one time. Many of us have heard the gospel preached to us continually for years and for decades, but there are still persons, Father, who have never yet heard the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to release your workers into the field, Lord God, that those people might hear of Jesus Christ and of his love and of his sacrifice for them. I thank you, Lord, that as you send those persons forth, that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in not only the things of God, but in the things that pertaineth to man. I thank you, Father, that you put shields and protections and divine angelic intervention into their lives, Father, that they are able to do their work, Father, for the kingdom, and that many shall come forth, that they shall come forth bringing in the sheaves. We thank you and we give you praise for these souls coming into the kingdom now, Father, wherever they be on this planet, in Jesus' name. We claim them for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say no enemy shall touch them in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that attempts to hinder them in Jesus' name. We shut to every mouth that speaks against them receiving Jesus Christ. We bind the mouth of persecution in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind up all acts and all enemies and all spirits bringing persecution to such persons in Jesus' name. We thank you that they will be set free, Father, that they will be made free so that they can serve Jesus Christ in liberty and in peace. We give you praise and glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes. And, Father, we continue to pray for the country. and we bind up all of the warring spirits that are roaming all around the world. And we ask you, I hear that Iran is lifting up its ugly head right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover America with the blood of Jesus. And we ask you, God, to prepare people for the things that are coming. And they're coming very quickly. We ask you that you will give us the souls of our family. We thank you, God, that you will bring them into the kingdom. We bind every devil that keeps them entertained and apart from you. And Father, we lift up even our relatives from far away that we don't even know. But God, in the name of Jesus, you gave us that promise, and we stand on the word that all that are listening and that all that are on the radio and on the telephones tonight, that you will bless us with the rewards of our family and our nation. And God, tonight was a very painful teaching about the falling of the church. And we lift up these pastors who are blinded, who have sought after finances and big church and big cars and money and things. We cry out for you to forgive them, God. We ask, God, that you'll bring them back. Some of them are sons of mighty men of God that lived even when I came into the kingdom. I knew their fathers, God. And Father God, I know one man that prayed for his son all day long and for revival day and night here in this town. And I know that you hear the prayers of your saints, and particularly people that are crying out for souls. And we ask you for mercy, God. We ask you for mercy, quick mercy in this man's life. We'll give you praise and glory for what you will do. And all of our Christian brothers and sisters that we've known over our life that are caught up in this movement, this third wave movement, we ask you, God, that you will open their understanding and their eyes to see what they're caught up in. We bind the spirit of rebellion, magic. We come against all New Age spirits and the occult. Antichrist, you're bound. Every devil that has come into the church and has taken dominion over so many of the American churches, particularly, we ask you to forgive us, God. We ask you to forgive us for not standing for the word when we should have. We particularly ask you, God, that you forgive your people for letting the Bible leave the church doors and for letting these vultures come into the church. We ask that you reveal them when they come into the church. We mark them because you said in your word, mark those who come in and cause dissension.
And avoid them.
And avoid them. And so we ask that you put a mark on their heads from this day forward. And everywhere they go, they will be known for what they're doing. They cannot hide. There's no place to hide any longer. In Jesus' name, we uncover their lies and we uncover their messages and we uncover them. Now, Brother Marshall, you want to end this program? You got, I think, about 3 minutes.
Father, we're all in agreement with all of these prayers, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're so grateful for your promises that are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you hear us, Father, because of that blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And we plead that blood over this nation and over each one of us and all those involved in the Block Talk radio broadcast and all of our families. We say, Father, forgive us. We didn't know what we were doing. We thank you for sending the Holy Ghost, Father. Thank you that we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You're a good Father. You're a wonderful Father, so extravagant in your love in sending your only begotten Son to take all of our punishments. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming. We thank you for being with us even to the end of the world. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Ghost. And Father, we ask for your divine protection, Father God. We plead the blood of Jesus over each one of us and all those connected and related to us, all our family members. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst because of that blood of the covenant. We thank you for sending the Holy Ghost. We thank you for that oil beaten for light. We thank you the enemy is destroyed by the brightness of your coming. We plead that blood, the wall of fire round about us in the glory in the midst. We thank you, Father, for translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We plead that blood, that light, that blood, by your spirit, all around every believer and all family members and all that pertain to each one of us. Rahab the harlot was delivered and all of her family. Noah believed, who built the ark, and he was the eighth person saved, it says in Peter. And we thank you that he was saved in this whole household. We thank you for saving them. We thank you for delivering them. We ask you to deliver us all. We ask that we'll all be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man in that day. We thank you for giving your angels charge over us, guardian angels, warring angels, including the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them, that fears them and delivers them. And we have a holy fear of you, Father God, and a holy fear of you, King Jesus, because we know we're going to stand before your throne someday and have to give an account for all those things and every idle word. Help us watch our mouths, Father. In Jesus' name. Please set a watch before our mouths continually, Father God. In Jesus' name. And we'll speak forth all and only the words that you want under the unction of your good spirit in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that anointing that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy. For Jesus is sending us forth, even as you sent him forth, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. We thank you for sending us forth with that anointing, even as the oil ran down from Aaron's beard unto his skirt. And we're members of Christ's body. We thank you for that spirit of adoption, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of drinking into one spirit with you, Lord Jesus. When he is joined unto the Lord as one spirit, we thank you for the privilege of being part of your body. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for coming to be with us. And we thank you for every gift that you give each of us in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to guide us into all truth and to give testimony of the Lord Jesus and all that he's done in our lives and all that he's going to do in the believers' lives. We thank you for what you've done to Cassia and many others, Father God, to Richard. We thank you for the deliverance that you give your children, Father God, because you said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. And we've called upon your name. We continue to call upon your name because of the blood of the covenant. Ask you to continue to deliver us from all the wiles of the enemy. And you said, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We thank you for that blood upon our houses. I plead that blood over every opening of every temple of the Holy Spirit in every one of our houses continually. Thank you for that blood covenant protection in Jesus' name. We thank you for your favor as a shield, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to continue to deliver us and deliver all those that we've been in relationship and affiliation with, Father God, those pastors, Father, even as Pat was praying earlier. I'm in agreement with those prayers, and we're all in agreement according to your word. And you said in your word over in Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. It's because of that blood of the covenant. And you're with us always, even to the end of the world. And because you're with us, we're not afraid. And we thank you, Father, for that blood covenant. We thank you for that spirit of adoption. We thank you for adopting us into your family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And God bless you, brother. And we bind up any recast in the name of Jesus. And we release the people to be free and ask the Lord to send his warring angels around each of us and protect us and our families. And we give you the praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A child of darkness.
Jehovah, the mighty God.